From the Director, Department on Aging, providing an overview of aging's 2012 requested departmental budget. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right, Ms. Stein.
Madam Chair, our budget does not show any revenue shortfalls or program cuts in any programs for next year. As a matter of fact, we were able to cover our cost to continue with some additional revenue, both earned revenue through Medicaid, revenue that used to go to pay for enrollment brokers to enroll people in programs. We do that ourselves now, and savings on our facility rental moving into the COGS building. So we have enough money to do a continuation and ask for no additional tax levy. The tax levy we do have goes to support the senior centers that are owned and operated by Milwaukee County. So really, our requested budget to the county exec is not does not have fiscal issues, but it has huge programmatic issues, the biggest programmatic issue being having to establish a waiting list for family care for older people for whom this has been an entitlement since 2002. We are in the first week, the first about 10 days, we've had one person 98, one person 100, and one person 108 whose families are very concerned about what will happen to them. All of them live somewhat independently in the community. They will have no money very soon. They have been spending their money prudently, and their families are very, very concerned that their only recourse will be nursing homes because there is now a waiting list. We also are spending a great deal of time trying to brainstorm with our community partners, with our commission, with our resource center folks, other community resources that we hope could provide some help while people try and wait on the waiting list. We're doing a brochure today that we've vetted for several weeks that talks about getting a home-delivered meal or a ride or some help from the Family Caregiver Support Program or Family Services Economic Security Initiative. So we've tried to lay out all the ways that people could get a little help while they wait for care. But most people need more than that. And most families have already given all of their time, effort, money, and strength to do this, and basically we were their partners in saying, once you do this and you're impoverished, we will be happy to take over because that's what we're here for. Well, that promise is now broken. We are getting very angry calls from people who are angry at us who had nothing to do with this. So it's very difficult. So that's our huge concern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You talked about the avoiding the unnecessary and costly nursing home placements. Obviously, it's difficult. It's impossible to predict exactly what the demand will be, but based on our history, do we have a sense of what the magnitude of that will be in terms of the cost, the potential sort of liability hanging out there in terms of the cost of nursing home care and for people who won't be able to use the family care benefit? Or
Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, that's pretty hard to tell. We have gone now for almost 12 years not using nursing homes in this community. 19 nursing homes have closed since family care began in this community because there's no when there's no demand, you don't need the supply. But I think when you're talking about people who are 98, 100, and 108, their choices are going to be rather limited. So I can't give you a big number. You all know that The cost of living in a nursing home is about twice of what it is to live in the community. The state knows that. All of the reports that they've done show that family care saves that money, and that the use of nursing homes in family care counties has declined drastically. So I don't know the big picture. I just know that individually it's going to be a lot more people than it has been in the last 12 years.
And what is our, forgive my lack of understanding of this, but what is our obligation going forward then relative to these people, or if any? What will our...
We not only have no obligation, we have no dollars. A part of, and I think maybe the public doesn't understand this as much as it should, part of the deal that counties make when you got into family care was that you gave up all of your discretionary long-term care money, our community aids, mm-hmm. to the program. Ours was about $19 million for the promise of entitlement. Nobody would have done this unless the promise of entitlement was there. That was the whole reason for long-term care redesign, was to give people, to give home and community-based care an exact equal footing to nursing home care, which is an entitlement under Medicaid. So we had, prior to family care, we had discretionary money for which we could purchase services to help people while they were on the community options waiting list, which was a long time. We don't have any of that money anymore. It does not exist. It is now rolled into the family care program to help support it, and that is true with every county. So we have a moral obligation, obviously, to try and do everything possible to help support those older adults and their families. But as far as any contractual obligation or financial obligation, there is none, because there are no alternative programs anymore.
So Madam Chair, we won't incur the double the cost, but Medicare presumably will. Medicaid presumably will. But then that'll then come back in terms of cuts to us from the state, or how will that sort of...
Well, it will increase that part of the state's Medicaid budget. So the Medicaid budget is, mm-hmm. you know, here's family care, here's nursing home care. The part of that budget that now goes to support nursing homes will increase mm-hmm. Hugely. Now, that isn't, you know, that money does not get allocated to counties. That money is direct payments between facilities and the state. But the more they spend there, the less they have to spend in other Medicaid programs.
And have we gotten any better resolution to the question of how the waiting lists, how openings will be distributed among family care waiting lists of elderly versus
mm-hmm. Yeah, we're anticipating about 100 disenrollments a month. That's our norm. It will be a little bit higher than that because we can't get numbers from the state's IRIS program, but we're working on that. A little difficult. So there'll be about 100 disenrollments a month. And again, as I like to point out, we have a perfect dilemma in that almost all the disenrollments are older people, yet all the people today on the waiting list are younger people with disabilities, and that list goes back to 2008. Legally, your waiting list is date of... legally, you serve people based on date on that waiting list. So older people will just begin going on a waiting list. The state has given us, Director Lide and I, discretion about how we would do that, and we are intending to split those disenrollments 50-50 so that 50 older people will be served and 50 people with disabilities will be served every month. And we hope we can increase that as our numbers get better, as we begin to follow that. But for right now, that's what we intend to do.
I've got Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Jurczyk.
Thank you. Do you have any plans to lay off anybody within your department?
No.
You have one staff abolishment, that's it?
That's an empty position, vacant position.
And why is all your nutrition programs have deficits in it? Your donations and everything else about getting out? Because the state did not want to fund or what?
No. It's basically because we are serving less meals. The family care programs are buying less meals. Therefore, we're losing that revenue. And we're serving less home-delivered meals, so we're not collecting that donation money. It's the state is funding us at actually an increased level. Our funding is fine. We have no program. We have no overall deficits. We're just not realizing that revenue. And then we don't, on the other side, we don't buy the meals if we don't have people to buy them for. So it's kind of a wash.
Because the people are out of the program, that's why you have less meals to give? Or what? I'm confused because there's a lot of seniors and really don't have the income to have meals.
And we'd like
to come out and...
We would like those people to be directed to us.
Okay.
Because we are really doing major outreach right now on both meal sites and home-delivered meals. We have capacity in home-delivered meals to serve a great deal more and would like to do that. So,
and within the state budget, how did that really affect your department?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, it didn't affect us at all.
Okay, so
we had no fiscal cuts in the state budget.
And do you generate revenue within your department, and you have reserves, correct, that you have to maintain?
Supervisor, we do not have reserves. We do generate revenue.
Okay.
We generate Medicaid revenue through our case management, through people doing options counseling for the long-term care programs. We generate a great deal of revenue.
And are we getting the money back from the state so we can maintain those programs?
Yes, we are.
All right. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Joseph.
First, I want to thank Madam Chair for putting this item on our committee agenda. Not all committees have done that, and I think it's a great idea to get an advanced view of the budget, so thank you very much for doing that. a few questions that I have. You know, we've heard that the families are upset because of the change in the family care waiting list. But I'm wondering if the director could address the issue with regard to the businesses that run the community-based residential facilities who've taken placement of individuals who have been private care. They're going to expend their resources, and then you're going to have a very difficult situation for those management facilities to now have a person that they perhaps have cared for years, who has run out of money, who will no longer be able to then just shift over to the family care payments, but are going to perhaps be in the situation of having to evict. I mean, this is, to me, these business owners are going to be in a very difficult situation. And unfortunately, I'm not so sure the Walker administration fully understood that they were going to be affecting businesses. Have you had any comments or have you heard from some of these management firms? And I know some of them. I have several in my district. These are usually very caring businesses who take to heart the residents they have under their houses, if you will.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurczyk, on July 1st, a 98-year-old man received an eviction notice from a CBRF. Because they knew his money would be gone by the end of the month, and if they didn't give the eviction notice on July 1st, it would have taken them several more months. when people say, well, that's a heartless industry, I say, how do you expect them to pay their staff? How do you expect them to stay open if they're not receiving dollars? That was one person the first day. This is going to happen over and over and over. I sit on the State Long-Term Care Council, and one of the other people that sits on it is Beth Anderson, who represents the Laureate Group, which is a very large provider. Howard Village, as you know, is one of those. And she talked about a situation in which she has a couple that live together. The man is on family care for his support services. The wife is not yet on family care because of spousal impoverishment. She got to keep a certain amount of resources. Those resources will be gone in 2 months. Beth's question to the state was, do we then have this woman leave not only the place she lives, but her husband, and enter a nursing home because that will be the only funding source? These are very bad dilemmas and decisions. Now, to be honest, there are 400 slots that are available statewide for the whole year for emergencies. It's up to counties to decide what emergencies are. I obviously, if we were faced with that decision, would fund that lady to stay in the community with her husband. But another county representative at the table said that's not an emergency. There's a safety net. She can go in a nursing home.
And you're getting to my next question, Madam Chair, if I could continue. Do we know how the emergency money is going to be used and distributed? Is it going to be whatever the first emergency is anywhere in the state, or is there going to be allocation among counties? Have we got rules on that? Thank you.
Yes, we have. It's not going to be allocated among counties, which most other counties want, so that Milwaukee County does not use all of it, which they are very blatant about saying. It is short-term money, meaning the minute you have an opening, that person has to be switched to that slot. So the state's thinking is that person will only be on for a month or 2 months or 3 months until you have someone else disenroll, and then that person gets that disenrollment slot. So it doesn't really increase the number of slots under the cap. It just provides some temporary funding. The state is also, again, has issued very broad guidelines about what an emergency is, basically leaving this up to counties, so there will be no continuity between counties on what one county does and what another county does. So we don't want it allocated. I don't see any sense in having two slots sitting in Barron County not being used because this is a rolling pot of money. I believe as an advocate that what all of us should do is use the money immediately because every person that comes to our door is an emergency, to be honest with you. And then see what the legislature would do when their 400 emergency slots were gone the first month. But there aren't other people in the state who are willing to do that. So, but it's ridiculous. It's absolutely. And then I asked about what are people's appeal rights if the 98-year-old man says this is an emergency, you need to fund me. What are his appeal rights? And I was told they only had appeals to us because, after all, we're making the decision, not the state. I said, but it's your money, and the legislature put it in the bill. I think they have appeal rights to you for a fair hearing. Oh, no, we don't want anything to do with that. So it's a very bad situation, and I think Director Lyde will tell you the same thing about younger people with disabilities who are pretty desperate right now because they thought this was it. They thought the waiting list would be over very soon.
Madam Chair, I'm very happy to hear your comments. It sounds like we have a broad understanding of emergency, which I think we should. I think we're going to have some assistants, some attorneys who are going to immediately go to the fair hearings. And we're going to get some rulings that are probably going to basically conclude the same thing, that this is a state program, state funding, et cetera. And just to kind of wrap things up here, and I appreciate all the comments, and this is a real conundrum. Is this 50-50 division you're talking about of slots for disability and slots for aging, are the resources board going to weigh in on that, or is this just an administrative decision?
We will definitely be bringing that to the Resource Center Oversight Board, which meets very soon. Given the fact that this is happening right now, it is an administrative decision, but we have discussed it in public at quite a few venues, and folks have been in agreement that it's the fair thing to do.
And since Milwaukee was one of the early pilot programs, mm-hmm. and because we were one of the early pilot programs, we've lost more nursing home beds. I'm wondering if your options counselors are actively counting beds across the state for nursing homes and looking to fill those beds out of county. I think we're going to be forced to do it. So are we looking at that?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, we're not looking at that yet because this just started. It's going to become necessary to look at that. You're absolutely right. The supply of Medicaid nursing home beds in Milwaukee County has shrunk to the point where it is difficult right now to find a Medicaid bed for someone, and it's going to get more and more and more difficult.
I think it would be very politically astute for us to let the whole state know that county is going to be sending folks all over the state for nursing home beds. We should get that word out. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo, you have a question.
Supervisor, how's the paratransit situation affect you? Particularly with the broker, I'm saying non-emergency, non-medical, they will not pay.
Well, it's affecting people already in some very difficult ways, which we're trying to track, but we don't really hear those stories because people do not come through us for those rides. You're not talking about the county's next year paratransit budget. You're just talking about the broker.
Correct. Come out, dealing with your program.
We've gotten some complaints, but again, people would not have scheduled those rides through us in the first place, so we're not the major place they think of calling.
Nothing further. This was an informational report. Thank you very much, Director Stein. Appreciate your time.